Well, may the Lord help us to continue our meditation in the Epistle of Paul to the Philippians. And this evening we'll come to chapter 4 and we'll read the first 3 verses. So the Epistle of Paul to the Philippians, chapter 4, and reading verses 1 to 3. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Eudeus and beseech Syntyche that they bear the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. So the apostle really commences these verses by referring back to the previous ones. He says, therefore, and I'm sure you know that in the original there weren't any chapters and there weren't any verses. So therefore he is referring to the previous verses which we thought upon last week. And he speaks in this way and he tells us, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And therefore he comes and addresses the Philippians now in this way. He says, therefore, because of that, my brethren, and he speaks to them very beautifully. He says, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown. There were, of course, many of them, those who had been converted under his preaching. And that's why he refers to them as and crown. But also we realize that he loved them, dearly beloved and longed for. He wanted to see them and he desired to see them. Because as you probably know, as we've spoken earlier in this chapter, in this epistle rather, he was writing this from Rome, which was a long way from Philippi, and therefore we can understand why he was longing to see them. And he says, my brethren, dearly beloved, and longed for, my joy, the joy he had of thinking upon them and thinking of those occasions when he did preach the gospel in Philippi, and how the Lord graciously and gloriously blessed that, especially as we know to Lydia and the Philippian jailer and his household, and no doubt many others. So he comes now and says, he addresses them in this way and then encourages them to stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Clearly, he didn't want them to wander away from the great truths that he had been able to speak to them and to set before them. And really, it's very similar to the words that he wrote to the Thessalonians. Because again, they were another church that he preached at and had been blessed when he preached to them. He says to the Thessalonians, therefore, brethren, we were comforted now over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live if ye stand fast in the Lord. So clearly he was concerned that they should stand fast in the truths that he'd been able to preach to them. He'd been able to explain to them the glorious gospel. He'd been able to expound to them the words concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, which of course we've already gone through in this epistle. And as we come down to this 13th verse, which tells us, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. His trust and his hope was centered in the Lord Jesus Christ. He realized that without Christ, he could not do anything. And so he tells us, I can do all things, but there was this great and wonderful secret through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And of course, that's exactly the same today for us, to think that we have this gracious God who strengthens us as you and I walk on this earth at this time, with many things to cast us down and many things to perplex us and perhaps many things to weaken us, and yet to realize this great blessing through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So the apostle addresses us in this way. So stand fast in the Lord. Nowhere else. We are to remember the Lord. We are to remember his ways. We should remember his words and stand fast in what he said. Not rely on anything else or follow any other way, but to be one, a true disciple who desires to do the will of Almighty God and to follow him. To so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. And then he comes and addresses two ladies. The ladies' names are Eudeus and Syntyche. And he says, I beseech Eudeus and beseech Syntyche. Both of them, he was concerned and he besought them. That means he was most ardent in his desire for them and in his concern. And what was that? This is what he's concerned about. That they be of the same mind in the Lord. That means they didn't have diverse opinions, didn't have different opinions. He wanted them to be of the same mind in the Lord. And of course, that is so vital. It's no point in being the same mind if it's something which is not in the Lord. But how wonderful it is if the way set before us and set before them was in the Lord. And therefore his great concern was that they might indeed be of the same mind. It was clearly they weren't of the same mind. And yet it would seem that they were indeed believers, but they weren't of the same mind. And now he beseeches them individually that they would be. I beseech Eudeus and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And then he also runs on in the same theme and the same desires, incorporating others. And he says, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow. Now, we're not told who this person is. We're just told it's a yoke fellow. And by being a yoke fellow, we can make the assumption that he was yoked to them. He was joined to them. He was, we might say, part of that fellowship. And he comes and says, and I entreat thee also. You see, he'd been concerned to beseech the others. And now he says, I entreat. And we understand, I'm sure, what that word means. It's not something which is a casual statement. He was very concerned. He wanted this person to help those women which labored with him in the gospel, and with Clement also, to come to the same view, to come to the same verdict, and to be joined together and not have differing views. And so he says, true yoke fellow, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers. His great concern, as you can recognize from this, was the unity of the church. He didn't want any differences. He didn't want any separation. And therefore, he labors the point, really, that they might truly be united together. And there might be no room then for any separation. And again, when he wrote to the Thessalonians, he said, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. He didn't want them to move away from those things which they'd been taught, which they'd been instructed in. Well, it's a blessed picture we have, isn't it, of the concern the apostle had for the unity of the Spirit. And then he also, as we already thought upon in an earlier verse in this same epistle, in the 27th verse of this same chapter, this is what he says. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Nothing else would do. It's only as it becometh the gospel of Christ. And whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Well, the apostle was very concerned, wasn't he, for the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And he tells us that when he wrote to the Ephesians, those very words, he says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That means to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit, to be together, to be joined together, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And as I was thinking about these words, I thought of that beautiful verse in Psalm 133. And you may remember what that is. He says this, the psalmist, he says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And so it is. Well, the apostle was concerned for that, wasn't it? Here we can believe that to be true. And then just finally, when he wrote to the Corinthians, we see this theme really running through the epistles, the concern for love and unity and joined together without any schism. And he says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and of course, that's the only way where unity can exist, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing. Don't have different views. You all speak the same thing, and there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Well, he wasn't advocating contentions. He was advocating unity. And he went to great lengths to speak to the churches that this might be their great concern. And remember, it was centered in Christ. And that's the only place of true unity. But what a good place it is, united to Christ. Well, these then three verses read, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Eudeus and beseech Syntyche that they bear the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. And that surely is the wonderful blessing that all those who are united together in Christ have their names written in the Lamb's book of life. And so they will walk together in union on this earth and be joined eternally together in glory. when they come to pass out of time, and indeed when time shall be no more, to be found then forever with the Lord. Amen.